Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's today's literature lesson. We're going to be talking about a work of literature today and for the following 2 days. And our featured work of literature is The Wild World of Victorian England. Well, that's actually the title of our lesson, but the actual featured work of literature is The Importance of Being Earnest,By, what's this guy's name?
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, yes. Oh. Oscar Wilde. He's Irish, right?
Yeah, he's very funny. I love his stuff. This is probably his most famous play. It was turned into a movie with a couple of really handsome actors, so you might want to check that out. But we're going to talk about the importance, we should say, the importance of being earnest. It's like some Shakespeare plays to me because there are identities that...are switched and people get confused about who is who and who loves whom, and it's kind of fun. So we're going to talk about the plot as we usually do during our literature unit. The next day we'll talk about Oscar Wilde himself. He was very funny, so if you can pick up a book about some of his writings, just his thoughts, they're funny. And then the last day, of course, we're going to talk aboutSome of the themes inside The Importance of Being Earnest. It is a stage play, though, and if you get the chance to go see it, because it's often put on stage because it's a classic, I would definitely recommend that you go and see it. It's fun.
Okay, so let's do it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson. Right now, we'll summarize our featured play. The play, The Importance of Being Earnest,is about two young gentlemen, Jack Worthing and Algernon Moncrief. Jack lives a respectable life in the English countryside with his 18-year-old ward, Cecily. However, he frequently leaves on trips, claiming he needs to get his younger brother, Ernest, out of mischief. In fact, he's getting away from country life by visiting his friend Algernon in London. While there, Jack calls himself Ernest. Likewise,Algernon has a fictitious friend, Bunbury, whom he claims to be visiting in the country whenever he wants to avoid disagreeable situations. On one trip to London, Jack falls in love with Algernon's cousin, Gwendolyn. Oddly, she has always wanted to marry a man named Ernest. Before they can marry, though, Jack must convince her mother, Lady Bracknell, that he comes from a suitable family.However, he reveals that as a baby, he'd been found in a handbag at Victoria Station and adopted. Unfortunately, Lady Bracknell will not agree to let Gwendolyn marry someone whose social class is unknown. Meanwhile, Algernon visits Jack's house in the country and introduces himself to Cecily as Ernest. Cecily, already fascinated with the mysterious Ernest,falls in love with Algernon, and they become engaged. However, trouble arises when Gwendolyn and Cecily meet at a tea party. After comparing stories, they think they've both agreed to marry the same man and clash over who has the prior claim to Ernest while appearing to enjoy a proper Victorian tea party. Eventually, it is revealed that Cecily's tutor was the nanny,who misplaced Lady Bracknell's nephew by losing him in a handbag. Therefore, Jack, whose real name is Ernest, is Algernon's older brother, and both couples are free to marry. Okay, everybody, let's get to it. Let's discuss the contents of today's lesson. The title is The Wild World of Victorian England. Now, notice here we've got wild spelled with an E at the end of it. That's because the author himself spelled his name this way. That's his last name, but it's also a homonym for the word wild, W-I-L-D. And indeed, the Victorian times of England could be described as quite wild, quite untame, quite unusual, etc. So it's kind of a play on words here.
Victorian England was really prudish and buttoned up. And Oscar Wilde came along, and he was wild and crazy. He lived a very flamboyant life. He did whatever he wanted. He was also gay, so back then it was a little different. You weren't supposed to tell anybody you were gay. And so he kind of shook things up in Victorian England. He writes this particular play about couples falling in love and things being all messed up and confused, and it's funny. It's a comedy, for sure. So the play is called The Importance of Being Earnest. If you're earnest, you're very sincere. Oh, my goodness. You would never tell a lie, and you try to do the right thing. And, you know, it's really important to be very truthful and honest. And yet the two guys in this are constantly lying about things, and that's when they get themselves into trouble. So we've got two characters, Jack Worthing and Algernon Moncrief. They are best buddies. You have to remember that part. Jack lives a respectable life in the English countryside with his 18-year-old ward, Cecily. We don't use that word so much these days, but a ward is a child that someone who's not related to them takes in, and they pay for their schooling, and they take care of their upbringing and make sure they are married off well. So he's got this ward, Cecily. If you're respectable, you do the right thing all the time. Nobody can gossip and say bad things about you because you always make the right choices. You're somebody that people think is probably dignified. You follow the rules. You're very polite. So when Jack's in the countryside with his ward, who's a pretty 18-year-old girl, he's very respectable.
Respectable, indeed. And I think an example of ward would be if you're familiar with Batman. Batman's ward was Dick Grayson living at Wayne Manor. But, of course, they changed into costumes and they became Batman and Robin, if you like to read comic books. But in any case, we're describing Cecily as being his 18-year-old ward. However, he frequently leaves on trips, claiming he needs to get his younger brother, Ernest, out of mischief. Now, here we're talking about Jack, of course, Jack Worthing, okay. He's respectable. He's got an 18-year-old ward, Cecily, but he's always traveling. And he says, well, I need to travel because my younger brother, Ernest, is in trouble. He's a troublemaker. He causes trouble in school. He gets into a lot of mischief. So we need to get him out of mischief. Mm. Mischief just means you are basically misbehaving. You're a naughty boy. And if you describe someone as having mischief, we say mischievous. The reason I said that wrongly is because most people say it that way. The correct form is mischievous, but you will hear a lot of people saying mischievous, even on TV and TV programs, they say it all the time.
And I explained this a while ago, but I'll say it again. The reason why a lot of people mispronounce it, it used to be spelled differently. So people started saying it like it was spelled, but now it's spelled differently. You need to make sure you say mischievous. If you say mischievous, people will know that you have good English, which is great. I wanted to also mention mischief is not doing things that are evil, where you're a really awful, rotten person. You're just kind of playful and fun. You like to play jokes on people, perhaps. So that's where Jack takes off to help his supposed younger brother, Ernest, out of mischief. He's not really doing that. In fact, he's going to visit his best buddy that he gets into mischief with himself. His best friend lives in London. Remember, Jack's in the countryside where it's a little dull. So he goes into London to visit his friend Algernon when he wants to have some excitement.
They want to get together and paint the town red. Yeah. They want to have a good time. Maybe go to some pubs and have a couple of pints or whatever. So while there, Jack calls himself Ernest. Okay, I guess he needs to maintain his respectability. So he doesn't call himself Jack when he's in London.
No.
He calls himself Ernest. And notice here, Ernest, of course, is a man's name, but it's not the same spelling as the title here, The Importance of Being Earnest. That's got an extra A in there, or it has an A in there, whereas Ernest, the name, doesn't have an E in there. You might know this name in its more colloquial form as Ernie, like Bert and Ernie on Saturday. Sesame Street. Ernie, also on My Three Sons, a TV show in the U.S. You probably don't know that one, but in any case here, he calls himself Ernest when he's in London. And likewise, Algernon has a fictitious friend, Bunbury, whom he claims to be visiting in the country whenever he wants to avoid disagreeable situations. So that's what Algernon does. He's also got a friend that he's made up. It's an imaginary friend, a fictitious friend, whose name is Bunbury. I hope I said that right. And he says, well, I'm going to the country to visit Bunbury because he does that to avoid disagreeable situations. So if he knows maybe some kind of party's coming up where he's going to be uncomfortable or something, or he's going to run into somebody he doesn't like, then he says, well, I need to go to the country to visit my friend Bunbury, and then he can avoid those unpleasant, those disagreeable situations.
Here we've got a trip to London. On one trip to London, Jack, who goes to London, falls in love with Algernon's cousin, whose name is Gwendolyn. So he actually falls in love, and that's not a joke, that's real. Oddly, she has always wanted to marry a man named Ernest, which is weird, but that's part of the fun. They use that word Ernest throughout the play, throughout the film, as a joke. So whether they mean Ernest being very sincere or the name, you'll have to pay close attention to see which one they're talking about. Before they can marry, though, Jack must convince her mother, Lady Bracknell, is Gwendolyn's mom, that he comes from a suitable family. This is really about the turn of the century, I would say the early 1900s. And back then, especially back then in England, of course, they had royalty. And you had to have a pretty high birth to marry into a family that was either a duke or duchess or a lady and a lord. Here, Gwendolyn's from a very kind of cool family. They have some royal blood. So he must convince her mother that he comes from a good family, suitable. If you're suitable, you match well. You go together well with whatever you're trying to pursue. So sometimes if someone wears a color we like, we'll say, oh, that really suits you. That's a very suitable suit to go have a job interview in. And he must convince the mother that he's suitable. If you convince somebody, you persuade them, you talk them into something, you convince them, you change their mind sometimes about something. So he needs some really powerful powers of persuasion. Before we find out what happens, though, guys, we're going to take a quick break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 14文学单元的第一天课程。今天要阅读的文章是一部非常有名的戏剧作品 The Importance of Being Earnest， 中文名称是不可儿戏。我们看到全文的第一句 The play The Importance of Being Earnest is about two young gentlemen, Jack Worthing and Algernon Moncrief。 剧本不可儿戏和两位年轻绅士有关，杰克华辛及雅吉能孟克列夫。在这个剧本中， Ernest 这个字是作为人名，但 Ernest 也可以做形容词，是指 very serious and sincere， 也就是认真的、诚挚的。例如， Jack had an earnest discussion with his parents about whether he should go abroad for further study。 杰克和父母认真讨论他是否该出国深造。我们接着看第一段的第二句，Jack lives a respectable life in the English countryside with his 18-year-old ward Cecily. 杰克作为18岁西西利的监护人，和他在英国乡村过着体面的生活。形容词 respectable 是指值得尊敬的、体面的、不错的。例如， Roy achieved a respectable score on his end-of-year English exam. 罗伊在他的英文期末考中获得不错的成绩。另外有两个和 respectable 相关的形容词，但意思却不一样。其中一个是 respectful， R-E-S-P-E-C-T-F-U-L， showing or feeling respect 的意思，也就是尊敬的。例如， Most children in Taiwan are taught to be respectful to the elderly。 大部分的台湾小孩都被教导要尊敬年长者。另一个相关的形容词是 respective，意思是各自的、个别的。例如， John and I chat about our respective lives at the class reunion. 约翰和我在同学会上聊着各自的生活。我们接着看第一段的最后一句，有一个连接词 whenever。Whenever 是无论何时、每当的意思，就相当于 every time。可放句首后面接一完整句子，逗号，然后再接一完整句子，或是将 whenever 子句放在主要子句的后面，例如。Whenever or every time I encounter a problem I can't solve by myself, I always turn to my parents for advice. 每当我遇到我无法自己解决的问题时，我总是会向我的父母征求建议。我们接着看第二段的第三句。Before they can marry, though, Jack must convince her mother, Lady Bracknell, that he comes from a suitable family.不过在他们可以结婚之前，杰克必须说服他的母亲巴拉克诺夫人，让他相信自己来自一个合适的家庭。动词 convince 是说服、使信服的意思。convince 常用的句型有 convince somebody of something， 例如 The accused man tried to convince the judge of his innocence。这位被告男子试图说服法官他是无辜的。Convince somebody to do something. 例如 We tried to convince Tom to go to the party with us, but he was busy preparing for a test. 我们试着说服汤姆跟我们一起去派对，但他忙着准备考试。Convince somebody that 加主词加动词。例如 Peter tried to convince his parents that he was capable of making his own decision. 彼得试着说服父母他能够自行做决定。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are summarizing our featured work of literature.The importance of being earnest, and, well, it's already getting a little confusing for me, so let me see if I've got this straight. The two main characters here are Jack Worthing and Algernon Moncrief. Jack lives in the country. He's respectable, but he wants to go to London to see his friend Algernon, and his excuse is that he needs to take care of his younger brother, Ernest, who lives there. Of course, Ernest isn't real. And then Algernon himself has an imaginary friend,by the name of Bunbury, and he says he goes to visit him in the country when he wants to avoid disagreeable situations. So one time Jack does go to London to visit Algernon. Algernon's got a cousin. Jack sees her and falls in love with her. It's love at first sight, and she says, hey, what a coincidence. I've always wanted to marry a man named Ernest, but before they can get married,Ernest, or Jack, in reality Jack, but Ernest here, as he's telling her, he's got to convince Lady Bracknell, Gwendolyn's mother, that he comes from a suitable family. However, he reveals that as a baby, he'd been found in a handbag at Victoria Station, and he had been adopted. So, okay, so again, he reveals this. It doesn't say that he revealed it on purpose. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. He said it by accident, but he ended up telling Lady Bracknell that he was actually found in a handbag at Victoria Station. Somebody just dropped him off at that train station in London, and somebody found him and adopted him. They brought him into their family.
Right. So unfortunately, this does not impress Lady Bracknell, who is expecting her daughter to marry someone in a high social class. Of course, if you've just been dropped off at a train station, Victoria Station, you probably aren't from a family of high standing. We don't even know what family he's from. So she's not impressed with him, and she doesn't want to let her daughter Gwendolyn marry him because...He doesn't know what social class he's from. So, meanwhile...
Wait, before you continue,let me see if I can try this. Okay, so here's Lady Bracknell. She'll say, Oh, I do not want my daughter to marry such a savage person who was found in a bag at Victoria Station. Begone. Get lost.
She is kind of stuffy. If you see this on stage or in a movie, you'll see that Lady Bracknell thinks she's hot stuff and no one is good enough for her daughter. So meanwhile, this is a word that means while something is happening, if you look in another direction, there's another situation going on at the same time. So meanwhile, Algernon decides to visit Jack's house in the country.And he introduces himself to Cecily as Ernest. So he goes to Jack's house while Jack's in London, meets his ward. Remember, she's 18 years old. She's really pretty. Her name is Cecily. And he says, "Hi, I'm Ernest." So she's thinking, oh, this is the guy that my guardian, Jack is the guardian of his ward. So this is Ernest that he goes into town to see. So she's completely snookered. She's completely fooled. And she's already fascinated with him because she hears stories about Ernest when Jack comes back home. Well, she falls in love with Algernon, and they become engaged. So if you're engaged, it means someone has asked you to marry them, and you decide, yes, we both love each other. We're going to get married. They haven't gotten married yet, but they are engaged.
They are. So we've got two Ernests here, both Jack and Algernon. And what happens here, however, it says, trouble arises when Gwendolyn and Cecily meet at a tea party. Okay, they're having afternoon tea here with some Earl Grey tea and some scones and stuff like that. So trouble arises here. This is the verb to arise, which means...It comes about. It becomes apparent. It becomes clear. Trouble happens, you could also say.
Or occurs when trouble occurs.
There you go. And Gwendolyn and Cecily. Cecily is actually an island next to Italy there.
Never mind.
Cecily is the ward's name here. And they meet at a tea party. I don't think they know who each other is. And after comparing stories, they think they've both agreed to marry the same man. And they clash.They have a conflict. They have an argument over who has the prior claim to Ernest. And they have this clash while appearing to enjoy a proper Victorian tea party. So, of course, they have to behave themselves. They have to be upright and honest and proper and respectable at this tea party. They can't just come out and argue like people in America where they would just start arguing, or here in Taiwan, they would just come out and start arguing. But here they've got to maintain that face, they've got to maintain that, what do you call a shower?
The appearance.
Appearance, there you go.
Yeah,
appearance,
the appearance.
Of respectability. So I'm sure the actual conversation they have with each other is quite interesting. They have to appear civilized, but at the same time, they're taking digs at each other. They're attacking each other.
Insulting each other,
Exactly. So they, of course, it's all based on a misunderstanding. They think Ernest is just one person when, in fact, it's two different people. And then further...Their real names aren't really Ernest to begin with.
So if you have anything that's considered to be proper, again, it just means it's done in its true form. You're following all the rules. So they were enjoying a proper Victorian tea party as they have this big fight. So eventually, after some time goes by, it's revealed that Cecily's tutor...a tutor is someone who comes to your home and teaches you. A lot of really wealthy people will, especially back in that time, this is a turn of the century, they would have governesses or tutors come to their home and teach them instead of having their kids go to a public school. Oh, heaven forbid. So she, it's revealed or shown that Cecily's tutor was the nanny who misplaced Lady Bracknell's nephew by losing him in a bag. So let's explain this. So Lady Bracknell had a nephew who was a newborn baby and just sort of disappeared one day. So it turns out that Jack actually is Lady Bracknell's nephew. So, which is very interesting because that means that Gwendolyn and Jack are related.
Exactly. And it also means that Jack...His real name is Ernest, and Jack is actually...
No, Ernest is really Jack.
Right, Ernest is really Jack, so Jack doesn't really exist anymore, but he's also, I guess, from a good family then, therefore.
No, Jack is from a good family, yeah.
It turns out that he's from a good family, so therefore Lady Bracknell will approve of him. Everything's all squared off here.
Oh, wait, look at that last line. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it does say, therefore, Jack, whose real name is Ernest, is Algernon's older brother. It turns out they're actually brothers. And they're not just buddies who get together to cause mischief. And both couples are free to marry. They're not related to each other directly. Everyone is legitimate. Everybody approves of everybody else.
They are related. But, you know, back then, they would marry their cousins. We don't do that so much anymore.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly the relationship here. It's quite convoluted here. But
mixed
it's
up,
an interesting story. It's mixed up. It's confusing. But, hey, if you read it, I'm sure you'll be able to make sense of everything. Hopefully, we did a good job of making sense of it ourselves. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第三段的第二句有一个形容词 engaged, 意思是订婚的。名词是 engagement, E-N-G-A-G-E-M-E-N-T。Be engaged to somebody, 或是 get engaged to somebody, 就是指和某人订婚的意思。Mary was engaged to Paul last week, and we congratulated them on their engagement. 玛丽上星期和保罗订婚，我们恭喜他们订婚了。Engaged 可做动词用，有从事的意思。Engaged in doing something 就是指从事某事，忙着做某事的意思。例如 ,Jessica has recently been engaging in pro-environmental activities like protecting endangered species.杰西卡最近忙着保护环境的活动，像是保护濒临绝种的物种。我们看到文章最后一段第一句中的 it 是虚主词，代替后面的 that 名词子句，指 that 子句这件事被揭露。类似的用法还有 it is said that, it is reported that, it is believed that 加主词加动词。例如In some cultures, it is believed that people who eat all the food on their plate are rude. 在有些文化，吃完盘子上所有食物的人会被认为是无礼的。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it, guys. This is day one of our literature unit. In our next program, we're going to be talking about the great Oscar Wilde.He had a very interesting life, and he wrote a lot of wonderful things, several of which are classics today. So I once did a report on him, I think in junior high. He's a very interesting guy. So if you get a chance, look up some of his quotes. He's very funny. He had a great sense of humor. But we got to wrap up, Tom. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.